Hello?
Ricardo, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. And yourself? How are you doing,
Rob? Hi, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Roxana.
Here, Anthony's here as well.
Anthony's here, too.
Hey, Anthony.
How's it going?
Good. Hey, welcome back.
Thank you. It's been an eventful last 2 weeks for us.
Actually, it's been 3 weeks because I just realized this morning he was gone the week before.
Yeah, he was on vacation.
So, did you, you survived the hurricane?
Yes.
Good. Any damage?
My ego's a little bruised.
Outdoor damage, trees, fences gone, but everything's fixable.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, we have our claims adjuster coming. We lost, we had a little damage in our garage, but nothing serious. We're fine.
That's right, because you're on the West Coast, right?
Yeah. So it looked like you guys were going to get absolutely smashed. And
yes.
It just kept going and then decided to smash us a little bit, but.
Yeah.
It wasn't as bad as people were making it out to be. Fortunately, we didn't get the storm surge, which was the really big, bad part.
Okay. Were you here or were you up north?
No, I stayed up north and said, Rob, you're a smart young man.
Yeah, but we got lucky that it wasn't expected to hit Cuba. It was expected to come direct towards Florida, the 5. So the fact that it stopped at Cuba, you know, slowed it down.
Yeah, that slowed it down, didn't it?
Yep.
All right, so how did we do, can you remember Supernova?
Yeah.
We're trying to remember.
It's like getting back after spring break or something, you know, it's like, hello, we're back in school.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is I just met with a guy. I've been coaching him for about a year now. And I asked him, how many acquisition strategies do I teach? Actually, I asked one of my coaches that, and they missed it, too. I said, how many acquisition strategies do I teach? And he said, I think 3. Well, I teach 7, okay? And the way to remember them is the 96-4-2-2-1 plus VIPSA.
Plus what, I'm sorry?
It's called VIPSA, V-I-P-S-A. It's on your list is a book called from Bill Cates called Get More Referrals Now. And on that, in that book, he talks about this process for getting introductions. We call them introductions now, not referrals, and so forth. So just to remind the class, after coming back from spring break, there are 7 different strategies. 90 is the 90-day free look, which we use when people are on the fence. We want 6 centers of influence. We want 4 mastermind group. I mean, 4 people in our mastermind group. So we have 2 niches, and then we're on 2 boards, social prospecting in the community, and then we have LinkedIn and Facebook, which is our social prospecting and then VIPSA. VIPSA is the 7th one. VIPSA, which is how do you turn your book into 100 raving fans and ambassadors that will introduce you.
VIPSA.
SA. Yeah. It's value, important, permission, suggestion, advice. And we'll get to that. The point is that he got stuck. He's using LinkedIn, and that's where he was spending literally 3 hours a day on LinkedIn. He would connect with 100 different people. He was getting 10 people would talk to him, 5 would meet with him, and he was opening one relationship from that. So it sounds like cold calling. Sounds like the old cold calling days. But he was kind of frustrated because it was too slow for him, and he wanted more active prospecting. And I said, well, in today's world, everything takes time. They're more effective, but they take time. I said, so use LinkedIn not just to get appointments to talk to people about, you know, what you can do to help them and what they're, you know, how can you connect and help each other. Talk about how do you find the people that fill these other strategies, okay? Because you need people to be your centers of influence. You need people to be, you know, part of your niches. You need people in your mastermind groups. So one of the things I think there were some really kind of interesting breakthroughs we made this morning. One of the things that is that, you know, you only use your own mind to try and think about who are the centers of influence. When you ask somebody to commit to being a center of influence, you know, together as part of your influencing strategy, and they say no, don't quit there. Ask them for their advice on who would be an enthusiastic person that would be part of this group that you're putting together. Okay, who would make a good center of influence? If you're not going to do it because you're too busy and you're too well established, you know, who would be an enthusiastic person, high energy, that would want to grow and want to get introductions? By the way, that's kind of a backhanded question because the client will go, well, I would like to. Yeah, but you got to be part of this group, sorry. You know, you got to be willing to commit. All right, so that's, and the same thing for, you know, selecting the person that's going to be in your mastermind group. You know, if somebody doesn't want to commit to that much interaction, ask them who would be a good fit for that. And for him, he's new in the business, so I suggested that he have 6 different niches. Now, for you guys, I'm suggesting 2 niches, but you can have more than that, okay? If you want to. You know, each of you could have 2. Combine them 4. You can work together on them if you want. And that would probably be, you know, be very effective. So since we met, and I know you guys are working on these, what progress have you made on your centers of influence and forming that up at this point?
We actually had a Friday that Rick and I did a Friday. That was the day that we sat down for a couple of hours and revisited this. So let me go back to see. This was before the hurricane, so let me go back and go through my notes.
Yeah, you were going to meet with your buddy who was in the business, I think, that used to work at, was it Merrill?
Yes, Merrill. Merrill. I'm going to be meeting with him in October when he's back in Florida. I've already talked to him about, you know, talked to him about everything that's going on. And he said that that's great, that, you know, he was happy and on board, and he's going to start thinking of names of people he can recommend for.
Awesome.
This was the last conversation I had with him. But when he'll be coming down in October, I'll be sitting down and meeting with him.
Well, that's great. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Okay. So, any progress in terms of folders or getting, you know, people introduced to Supernova, or has it been pretty much hurricane?
No. We've introduced a lot of folks to Supernova, and we actually had a lot of appointments scheduled during these past 2 weeks that we had to reschedule. So Anthony's working on getting them rescheduled, but we met in person with several of our top clients before the hurricane, within that week that you were gone.
Great.
And
okay.
We discussed, so that's one. We met with the Goldens, two. We met with like three or four of our top 10.
Good. And the reaction?
Two of our top 10, actually, they're within, Hewitt is our number two. They said, when I introduced the rapid response and all of that, their statement was, you know, Roxana, you guys always get back to us, you know, right away. You always solve our problems. Like, you know, they're very happy with us, but that they're excited that, you know, things can only get better.
Right. And you know, the truth is that you can be frank with them and say, look, you know, yes, were we great with you? Yes. You're one of our best clients. But the truth is that wasn't always the case with everybody.
Right.
And so we just don't want that ever happening to anybody. And so,
right.
You know, and you can even say, you know, I think we did that too. But I can't guarantee it because we didn't know. We weren't that organized. So this way we know.
Mm-hmm.
We know. We know you're going to get a call every month. We know we've got the rapid response system put in place. So it's just like an emergency warning system. We just have it in place, and it's just smarter.
Yeah, that was actually the response from three of our top clients that we met with. That Roxana's worked with them for a long time. They were all like, "Well, you've already done this.
You've always been great. I came back to us." But then we focused on the multi-generational planning and that aspect of it, which we have not been doing with them. And you know, they were excited.
Good, 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 good. You're smart. That's very good. Talk about the benefits that are coming and the ones that are going to be for them. Yeah, because otherwise it's like, yeah, so what? You've been doing this the whole time. Well, it's a nice testament to you guys, you know. It's nice to know that you know. And I think you've already felt that you give your good service. Okay. One of the things, I don't know if I mentioned this, but in building the folders, my recommendation is keep the there's a page in there on introductions, given and received. Keep that in there.
Keep that what? I'm sorry?
The phone's breaking up.
Yeah, keep that in the folder. Don't take it out. Some people take it out because they think, oh, that's a little bit rude, you know.
Yeah.
But it has a couple of, it has many benefits. One, it says, you know, we value you and we want more people like you. These are the people that we have been fortunate to refer to you for one thing or another, and you've referred these people to us. Now, I would put the date on there of when they referred somebody to you or when they became a client, whichever you choose to do. And then a year later, every year on that anniversary or when they refer you. Sounds crazy, right? Why would you do that? It's brilliant. A year from the time that the client opened the account, say, you call them and say, look, hey, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate. You could just put that on your agenda, right? Thanks for the introductions. That could be an agenda item. And you put on there, thank you for the introductions that you've given us over the years. This one in particular, it's the anniversary of their opening the account. It's been 2 years. I just want to tell you it's been a great relationship. They value us, and I really appreciate the fact because they're such a good fit for us. They're such nice people. That says a couple of things. One is thank you. You know, we value you enough to thank you. We value your judgment. You gave us a really good person. We value your influence because you got them to do it. And we value them because they're a good client. And, by the way, we would value another introduction. You see, by thanking them for this one, they're naturally going, well, you know, that's really nice. Who else do I know that would be able to? And you could simply say, you know, don't keep us a secret. We're looking for people, you know, 4, 5, 6 people each year that are just like you and just like these folks. And that would be enough. That would be just, that could be the whole conversation. And they'd be like, these people are so nice. They're so appreciative. Recognition is the cheapest form of marketing and influence. It's wonderful. And it's fun to do. People appreciate it. And it makes the opportunity for more of that. See, it's reinforcing behavior, right? That's what we want to do with our kids. Whatever behavior we like, we reinforce. You know, the modern way is to ignore the bad behavior and reinforce the good. And that probably makes all the sense, right? Because kids want attention. So do adults, by the way. And by reinforcing the good behavior, you're suggesting that you're going to get more attention. So did we talk about the Ambassadors Club?
Nope.
No.
Okay, so we talked about the 4 different types of clients that we have. Customers, clients, advocates, and ambassadors. And I really want you guys, if you haven't done it, to put your clients down in that, you know, in one of those categories, and give me an idea as to what you actually have.
So customers, clients, advocates, and ambassadors.
Yeah, and now, so we kind of know what a customer is. That's somebody that buys from us. And that would be about it. They treat us like a broker. They buy from us. They buy stocks or bonds or, you know, they got us in a nice little niche in a pocket, you know, in a box. And then we probably don't have too many of those anymore, but there's probably still a few. Then what's a client? A client does what we tell them. We like them. We trust them. People that are supernova, you know, people that would be good for supernova, right? We like them. We trust them. They listen to us. We listen to them. They have the money. They've done a financial plan, or they're willing to do one. Okay? So that's what we want. We want all clients, no customers. All right, and then what's an advocate? An advocate is actually somebody that is willing, that's like a center of influence. They're willing to give us a referral, an introduction without us asking. And they've done it in the past. They're either willing to do it now or they've done it in the past. But you know they're an advocate. All right? They enthusiastically endorse you. And then what's an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody that has given you an introduction in the last 12 months. You can make it 24 months if you want to, but the idea is that you recognize those people that have given you an introduction, and you can do it in any way you want. I mean, the simple way to think of it is, you know, you got 4 of them, you have a nice dinner at the Ritz or someplace where it's going to be special, and you give them a little gift for being in the Ambassadors Club. So every year they give you an introduction, you give them. No, it's got to qualify, and they got to actually open the account. Okay? So these are not as, you know, it used to be you just get a name and you'd really go wild. It'd be great, thanks. But no, we need more. We need a true introduction. It has to be qualified, and they have to open the account and be doing business with us. So then they're an ambassador, and they get invited to ambassador's dinner, and they get maybe a couple of wine glasses. You can not spend money or you can. It's up to you guys. Just a dinner is fine. Maybe a nice letter to them.
banking them, personalized. Or you can give them some wine glasses, or you could give them, you know, whatever you guys think of. You're good marketers. But the idea would be that you'd spend the evening and just socialize, and maybe there's four couples that have given you an introduction in the last 12 months that have got turned into a client. It would be a lovely thing. Now, they have to be a client. Can't be a center of influence, just a center of influence. They have to be a client.
Has to be a client that's the ambassador?
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So I think that's a very effective way, and that's a good long-term strategy, reinforcing behavior, and will generate some nice introductions. So homework-wise, I would suggest you put down your clients and give them a designation. Now, the purpose of this is not, so you might want to do it on a spreadsheet. Purpose of this is to move them up. So you review this monthly and say, who did we move up from customer to client, client to ambassador, to advocate, advocate to ambassador. How many do we have? What's our goal? So you could literally say, okay, my goal is to have 10 ambassadors, 10 clients that give me an introduction that becomes a client. And I want those every year. I want those people to be in the club every year. All right. So how do we get people from being customers to clients? That's one project. Clients to advocates, that's another project. That's what, you know, that literally could be the reason we're doing Supernova, right?
Yep.
Turn our good clients into advocates.
Right.
And then the way we know that they're advocates is they actually given us an introduction that became a client. So it's proving that that would have made Supernova, that would pay for Supernova if you did this. So let's make a spreadsheet and just get, you know, figure out who's, how many we have in each category, and then what would be a good goal out of, you know, 24 months for each of these categories. And then let's measure it and see how we're really doing against it. Is Supernova working to the point where we're moving people up this continuum? Because that's really what we're doing with the customers, right? We're either kill or kill. We're either firing them or we're getting them to be clients, because we're not going to tolerate people just being customers and getting 12-4-2. That's not, doesn't make any sense. And the same thing with financial planning, that's part of being a client. You're not really a client until you've done a financial plan. Questions on that?
No, that's a good one. We had not heard that one yet.
Good. Well, that's a fairly new one. I thought of that one when I was fly fishing in Colorado. I mean, in Idaho. this is what I do. You know, Busman's Holiday. Go to Alaska, fly fishing, and take a book called Give and Get. I mean, Give and Take. Give and Take by Adam Grant. I talked to you about that, right?
No.
No.
Oh, God, I've got all these good ideas for you. See, I just need to go do more fly fishing. Okay, so I'm going to write that down. Ambassador's model, and you're going to do it. All right. Well, this one is this is a great book, and actually, I got it while the idea of it when I was in,
your office. And so the book is Give and Take, and it's by a guy named, he's a professor at Wharton, named Adam Grant. And it's on my, it's
oh, what was his last name, I'm sorry?
Adam what?
Grant, G-R-A-N-T. Now, this has become, you know, when I give my list of reading that you have to do, this has become like my number one book on there besides Supernova. So the point is that this guy proves everything that you and I believe in. And so it's very reinforcing for Supernova. The basic premise is this. There are three different kinds of people in the world. We spend time in each of these styles, you might call them, but you're primarily one of these three people. You're either a giver, a taker, or a matcher.
So what?
A person that matches up, a tit-for-tat person. I'll do this for you if you'll do this for me. So in reality, we have spent time in all these categories. When we're a kid, you know, we're pretty much focused on ourselves, and we don't learn to give until our parents teach us that. I mean, we certainly always have it as an instinct, but in the beginning, when we're in the survival mode as a kid, we spend most of our time wanting things and taking.
I'm still that way around the dinner table.
Yeah, we used to be, look, you know, we had four boys around the dinner table. It was like, look quick and take the biggest.
Yeah, that's exactly how we were.
we had a lazy Susan, and whoever had their hand on the lazy Susan first got first dibs on the biggest piece of meat or whatever.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you mature and get past, you know, unfortunately for some people like me, it didn't really happen until I was maybe became 40 or something. Around then I realized that, you know, it wasn't all about Rob. It was about helping others and giving. And you know, I spent the last 30 years giving and trying to help people. But, as you know, young people are pretty much into themselves. So the point is that, yeah, we spend time in each of these categories, but intuitively, as a human being, we do naturally fall into one of these categories. So which of these, which is the interesting part, which of these was the most successful? What do you think the taker would be, right? The person, you know, nice guys don't finish first and all that stuff. But the truth is that givers finish last, but they also finish first. And this was the part that was the most shocking to me. I could understand how givers could, you know, people take advantage of givers, right? And so what is it about the people that finished first and were the wealthy people and very successful that were givers versus the people that just gave and were not successful? Well, you can imagine it. It's people that give too much. The person that gives so much in college, you know, they're helping the homeless, they're doing all these things that they neglect their grades. Versus the person that participates and does a lot, gives a lot, helps the homeless, but makes sure they get A's. And then in business, somebody that helps others in their team and helps others around their cubicle, but they neglect their own work. Versus the person that helps others, but makes sure their work gets done. So it's kind of a common sense thing for most of us. You gotta survive, right? It's great to give, but you better make sure you're safe. They call that, instead of selfish, they call it otherish. So you're very others focused, but you're making sure you take care of yourself and your family.
So those are the people that finished first. They've got great stories and examples of billionaires that are generous and caring and introduce people and get them jobs and network and help people. And I mean, and people rave about these folks, but they were the most successful people in their industry because people like them so much and they wanted to help them. And then they talk about, you know, matches, people that match, and that's fine, tit for tat. And from time to time, we do that, you know. You know, we don't want to be taken advantage of. But you know the difference between being taken advantage of and somebody that's a taker. So Bernie Madoff would have been a person that appeared to be a giver in everything he did, but in the end was a consummate taker.
Yeah.
Ruthless. Horrible.
Bernie Madoff. Oh. Yeah, he was just giving other people's money.
No, it's just a horrible person. You know, most thieves are pretty generous, actually.
Yeah.
I had a thief in my office, a cashier that was stealing money when we used to do business with a lot of money. And she was the most generous person in the office. She would give everybody gifts and things. She was stealing, you know, thousands of dollars every month. I think they feel guilty somehow for doing it. Anyway, so those are – so you need to read the book because I think it reinforces your natural – you guys are givers, I can tell. You're very generous with your time and energy, and, you know, you're busy, 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 but you're still very generous. And so sometimes we think, well, if I do all these things for these people, will it pay off? Well, yes, it will, okay? So a lot of what I teach in acquisition is give, give, give. Give, give, give to give, be a servant leader, help others. But in reality, if you do it right, it will pay off so big that you can't even keep up with the business. So that was very reinforcing. So that was my trip to Alaska. I read that.
Sounds really interesting.
Yeah, you'll love it. Yeah, you'll
love it. We're going to get it. It falls into our philosophy, you know, in our way of, that Rick and I have always, you know, lived our lives and pouring back into people and,
Right. Yeah, so I think it's a great, you know, you have a lot of testimonials, and but I think it also says, you know, you can't just be a giver. You gotta be taking care of yourselves too. Even though you may not be first on the list, you're on the list. Okay, so. Mini-me folders, I talked about that, right? Using the, maybe I didn't.
Well, wherever we're a little ahead on that, on the folders, because of Anthony having gone through the system with Aid.
Are you using the introductions in there, in the folder, in the client folder?
Do you mean like the bios?
No, the sheet of paper in there that we recommended, that where you have introductions given and introductions received.
Yes, it's in there, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I with Abraham, not to touch too much on this, I think initially he was just only doing the enthusiastically endorsed page. But you're saying to basically put that page behind the enthusiastically endorse section?
Yeah, put it in there, and the reason I want it in there is so that you give people a chance to you keep track of their anniversaries of when they've given you an introduction, and then recognize them for that.
Right, you're saying for our folders, for the advisor folder.
Your folder and the client's folder.
And the client's folder.
Yes. You know, it's kind of giving them credit. People say, well, that's kind of rude. What if there's no names on it? Well, that says something.
But it also, what if there are three names on it of people that gave you introductions? That's like, you know, really important. You know, that's like they, I mean, that's a big deal that they did that and that they're still clients, you know. So you give them a rundown on them. So I would, you know, you can do it on the anniversary of when they, the client became a client, or you can do it once a year. You can put it on the agenda, just something to discuss. It could be part of your VIPSA process, value, important, permission, suggestion, advice for getting introductions. But I like the idea of recognizing them on the anniversary of the time the person opened the account, because then you're talking about an individual account, individual relationship. So you simply say, thank you. By the way, this is the anniversary of when you gave me Dr. Dillon's account, and I just wanted to thank you again that we've had that account for 4 years now, and they're a great client. They were a good fit for us. I just met with them. They seemed very happy, and I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate it. It means an awful lot to our team that you have the confidence to not only enthusiastically endorse us for your business, but you're willing to introduce us to somebody else. I said, that's the greatest compliment we could get. And you could even, you could at the end say, oh, by the way, don't, you know, we appreciate it. We're going to probably bring in 4, 5, or 6 new clients this year. Would you mind, I hope you, you know, please keep us in mind with anybody that would value the service as much as you have. It would be a very light way to say it. And they go, oh, yeah, yeah, we will. In fact, we got somebody for you, or, we, you know, we love you guys. And, so I think it's rather than, you know, people want to take it out or not put it in. And I was like, no, it's recognition of them for the fact that they introduced us. And they should be recognized. Okay. And in there you could put, you know, they were an ambassador. You could write on there, you know. They were the ambassadors for those years. In the Ambassadors Club. Anyway.
Going back to Ambassadors Club,
yeah.
Do you have to qualify every year the client, or, you know, once a client?
Yes, okay. Yes, every year. Every year. You could do 24 months if you wanted to, but I kind of like the idea of every year because it, look, you got to, you know, you're accountable every year, right?
And how do you explain it to the client? You're just more of a inviting for a
record? Yeah, I tell them exactly. Every year that you give us an introduction that becomes a client, you're part of the Ambassadors Club. You'll be introduced. You'll be asked to join our ambassadors dinner, and you'll get a little token gift. And we just want to tell you how much we appreciate it.
Okay.
You know, human beings are craving recognition. Just watch your kids. You know, it's a natural thing. People pretend they don't care, but they really like it.
Yeah.
And people understand that they don't always win, you know. But, you know, I used to take the guys, when I was running what they call, we had a campaign at Merrill, you guys probably remember, called the Masters. And it was an asset gathering campaign. And we'd get, if you were in the top 125 in the country, you'd get a trip to Europe. And if you're a manager in the top 20, you got to go with your FAs to Europe with them, take your spouse. So it was something that, you know, we believed in, asset gathering. It wasn't in conflict with anything. So I was a big believer in it. I learned the rules, and I helped my guys to win it. And so I got a trip every year. And we were fortunate. We'd be one or two in the country. And the first year I did it, I gave the guys that won the trip a little extension. You say, well, why would you do that? They already won, and they got a trip to Europe. I said, yeah, but everybody that won got a trip to Europe, but only the guys that worked for me got a two-day extension. So when we went to Paris, I took them to Lake Como in the lake country in Italy, overnight train from Paris, you know, stayed at Villa d'Este, had a fabulous dinner, and I spent about $40,000. And I didn't care because I knew that those guys, there were four of them from my office, which is, you know, out of 14,000 FAs, that was pretty good having four winners in the top 125. And I knew they'd make it every year if I gave them this extra trip. So the whole time they're there in Paris, all they're talking about is this two-day extension to Lake Como. So everybody at the place wanted to work for me. So it was a little extra recognition, and so every year we did that. Every year, and that's all they talked about. So the first year we had one win it, the second, then we had four, and then we had six, and then we had eight, and then, you know, it was wonderful. And so that's kind of what you're creating here is, look, you know, don't you want to make it back to the ambassador's dinner every year? It's like recognition dinners in your office. I hope you have them.
I think you do the same thing for your supernova clients?
Yeah. What? Take him to Paris, you mean?
Yeah. And then Como.
Yeah, we want the extension too.
And, my client. Yes, exactly. Wouldn't that be nice?
No, the industry has changed a lot. I remember that because Bob, the person I started in the business with, would go every year. And the business has just changed a lot. Like, they recognize the office with a pizza party on Fridays or something like that. But they don't do recognition trips and things like that anymore.
The restaurant is called Little Lake Como, but that's about as close as we get to Italy.
Yeah, you got to do that. You'll take them to Lake Como and tell them that story. They get a big kick out of that.
Yeah,
that's funny. Anyway, it's funny, you know. We got to talk about work, but there was one time. I think this was when we were in Miami. We had a recognition. The first year, the manager was it national? I think it was nationally recognized. Might have been just in our region. No, I think it was national. We had recognition for the offices or the complex or the complex, I think, that had done the best, you know, net new assets and all this stuff. And they didn't have a trophy, so they gave them, you know, the Ritz has the blue glasses. Mm-hmm. They have a blue glass. I don't know if you ever remember them or saw them, but they're real pretty and different. And so, whoever won got up and got the blue glass. And then after that, they had a trophy and all that. And to me, I think it would have been really symbolic if they had just given the blue glass every year. That would have been perfect. It would have just been so simple, yet so only people that really understood the first year and understood what it meant would have gotten it. It's kind of like your little Lake Como. You could turn Little Lake Como into a great story. We can't afford to take it to the big Lake Como. We're going to take it to the
big right.
We'd like to. Well, I've always wanted to compete with other coaches and take just a random group of teams and, like, say, take 10 teams and compete, and he who has the best, you know, does the coach that does the best out of those teams that he's coached in terms of net new money and assets and production and all that stuff, have either a recognition or at least a bonus, you know, based on the performance of the people. I don't know why they don't do that. It seems to me that'd be I'd love to do that. Of course, I'm very confident that my people would win. So, problem with Nico is that he couldn't do that because he'd have all the winners. He'd have to hire somebody else, right? We don't want him to hire anybody else.
No.
But the firm, we have to qualify to be a coach, and they have all the coaches there. And to me, I would love to compete with any of them because I think we actually teach something that has structure, process, and can help. And I think other people do more of the coaching to help you stay, try and get organized in terms of discipline and do more of this behavior rather than giving you the structure on how to do it, you know.
Right.
Just do more of this. Because everybody says pretty much the same things, you know. Shrink your book down, get organized, and then grow. Not everybody.
Yeah, a lot of people say, you know, grow your book and have the ABCD client and, really.
That's like, I want you to spend more time growing, but you're not going to have any more time.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to give you a system that's going to take more time away and produce no more revenues.
Correct.
Yeah.
Think about it, right? You almost have to hire a separate person just to do the ABCD model and figure out who gets a Christmas card and who gets a Hanukkah card and who gets a birthday card and who doesn't. And I always wondered who doesn't get those things, you know. It's crazy. So that, no. The difference is that we did this. I did this. I was a financial advisor. I was a manager. I know how much time you guys don't have. And so we have to find real time if we're going to grow. And so we got, you know, the best thing you could possibly do would be to never call another client and spend all your time prospecting. Then you grow. The problem is you got to keep your client.
Yeah.
So how do we organize that process so that you have time? Can't give you all that time, but we can give you some of that time back.
Yeah.
And that's by focusing on the best clients, giving them a great experience, but not too great, not so much that it eats you to death. And then really get organized and stay organized on the acquisition. And the place that people fail with Supernova is they don't take acquisition as seriously as they take 1242. If they skip anything for the week, it's acquisition. They never skip 1242. And the reason's natural, it's logical, is because those people are already paying the bills. The acquisition, we can't know that that's going to pay off. That's in the future. And therefore, we defer it because we're not guaranteed that that's income. And you have to say to yourself, that's guaranteed income if I do it. Guaranteed income. It's as important as my clients. It's my future. And therefore, I have to invest time and effort in doing this.
Right.
Okay. So make sure, and we'll talk about that, using a game board or some kind of reminder that says to you, are you doing your 1242s with your prospects? Okay, and that's, you know, the more passionate I can be about that and emphasize that more, the better you guys are going to do with this whole program. The worst thing I can do for you is to, I mean, it's not terrible, but I feel so sad when I do this, is to really get you organized, make you have balance in your life, love your job again, but don't help you grow. That to me is a heartbreaker. I've done all the hard work, but there's not the payoff. So I want this to work in terms of the growth. It's really important.
I have a question, Rob.
Yep.
When adding prospects to the 1242, at what point do you add a prospect? For instance, Rick had a...
It has to be a targeted. They have to
meet your targeted
number. Right. So let's say they meet your target number. This is just an example. They meet your target number. Somebody referred you a person. They meet your target number, but you never got past, let's say, the first introductory meeting.
Yep.
Do you have to have had a full meeting, have done a financial plan? Like, what's the criteria to then just add them to the 1242?
Yeah, I would. I'd give them what I'd do for them is do a 90-day free look, 1242. And I wouldn't do it automatically. I'd meet with them and talk, or I'd call them and talk about it. And say, look, you know, you're not going to buy a house or a car or make any major investment or change anything unless you know what the experience is going to be like. Now, some people do that because they're, you know, they just feel comfortable making quick decisions. But other people want to take their time and want to see what it's like. And so we've developed this program called the 90-Day Free Look. So what we do is treat you like a client so that you know what the experience is going to be like, because to you, the experience that we're going to give you is the same as the experience you're getting today. And that's so far from the truth. So we would like to give the opportunity to show you the difference between what our service experience is like and you compare it to what, I don't know what the other's like, but I know that no one can compare to what we do. And you don't have to be that, you know, that, I probably wouldn't say that, but I'd say something like that. I'd say we just want to give you the opportunity to do a good comparison analysis.
Right.
And they'd be like, okay. And so by the, you know, you make three phone calls. I'd make two phone calls in on the phone. I'd send them an agenda. I'd send them an executive summary. I'd make it a nice call. And then the third one would be an in-person visit. And that would be, of course, the time where I wanted to really sit down with them and decide. Well, you know, I've had it where people don't make it past the first month. They say, you know, you've called me now more than my financial advisors called me in the last 6 months. I see what you're doing, and I want to switch. So what you're doing is you're loading the scale. You're weighing the scale on one side heavier than the other. You think, well, that's not fair. Yes, it is. That's your job. Your job is to actually tell people how loaded the scale is already.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know that. I mean, wait till you go out and really try and find people to do your center of influence thing with. You're going to find that you think all the lazy people are in your office. Well, that's not true. There are lazy people everywhere. Not everybody wants to grow. A lot of people are very satisfied with the book of business they have, you know, whether they're a CPA or an attorney or whatever. So that's... Just think about the ratio of the people in your office that are eager learners, want to grow, and are givers. That's the ratio in every law firm, CPA firm, every real estate firm, everywhere out there, okay?
Uh-huh.
So when you're looking for a center of influence, you're not looking at the, you know, you look at one person and you think, that's, you know, this person doesn't want to do it. Because they say they're too busy. Well, the truth is they're one of those 80% of the people in the office that are pretty lazy. Okay? So you don't want to do business with them. You don't want them as a center of influence. So what you do is you ask them, oh, you know, I understand you're busy and this isn't going to be a good fit for you. Who would you enthusiastically endorse in your office where it would be a good fit? You know, where it would be somebody that you really think would want to do this. And they'll probably give you the name. Oh, this guy's crazy. Oh, he's growing all the time. He's obsessing about growth. You know?
All right. Well, I heard somebody ring in. I think that's my next call, so I've got to go. But you got, I think you've got enough homework here.
Yep.
Yes.
We got a lot of catching up to do.
I'm catching up, too.
Yep. All right. Well, welcome back and look forward to talking soon.
Okay. Okay. Quick question before you go. So the two books is Give and Take, and then we also have to get more referrals now, right? From
That's right. That's okay. Right.
Okay, thank you.
And you can order those books through us.
Oh, okay. So where do we go to your, to the Supernova site?
Yeah, to the shopping cart. You can order the four recommended reading books that Rob has. We have them on sale right now, so it's a really good price.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll look into that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.